141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we get set for another big midweek of Premiership action. Rangers can go top of the table when Ross County come to Ibrox tomorrow. Stephen Welsh says Celtic are blocking out any outside noise when it comes to that title race. And Neil Warnock believes it's possible for teams outside Glasgow to challenge for the title, but only with time and good recruitment. Two fine pieces of recruitment for us tonight, Charlie Mulgrew and Gordon Dalziel. Easy for you on a Tuesday night these days. You've got the weekend action fresh in the memory and ready to go on to a big midweek as well.
Yeah, I think everybody, you know, after the weekend settled down. Congratulations to all the clubs that have made the quarterfinals. Especially Morton Friday night. Terrific result for them to get off to a good start. And then you've got the other teams that, apart from Livingston, struggled a little bit. Good cup draw, but all eyes are firmly beyond tomorrow night. Ross County calling at Ibrox. Rangers got a great opportunity to leapfrog Celtic in the league. And obviously Motherwell looking to bounce back from that disappointing cup exit up at Aberdeen league business.
See, when you've been there many times, Charlie, see when you're at like this stage of the cup, you know, you're in February and the title race and all, is that when the season really starts to feel, not saying it doesn't feel real before that, but you know, everything really ramps up a little bit?
Yeah, you know, every game counts. I mean, not it doesn't count before, but you know that Rangers are powering on. Celtic need to pick up results. Rangers need to pick up every result. You know that they're playing, either playing just after you or just before you, and the cup's coming up and there's pressure on the games as well. You want to win every game you get into. But yeah, you know that this is really the business end of the season, and you need to win games to pick up trophies, and these will be a big player step up and get results.
0141 951 1025, that is the number you need, so come on down. Why wouldn't you want to speak to Charlie Mulgrew or Gordon Dalziel tonight? For you Rangers fans, it's kind of like where we were last week. Get the right result, go top of the table. We'll hear from Philippe Clement. It won't surprise you to hear that he isn't getting involved in talk of title races or gaps and all that sort of stuff. But for fans, clearly there is an excitement there. Is it symbolic? How important do you think it would be to go top now, do it this early, and try and put a bit of pressure on? So what are you thinking ahead of tomorrow night? Maybe you've got game specific thoughts as well. I think everyone's already getting a bit excited about this title race. And then Celtic fans, you're on the other end of it. Not much you can do this midweek. You have to sit back, hope that Ross County maybe do you a favour. It would just be by goal difference anyway. So how do you all feel about it heading into this midweek? 0141 951 1025, that is the number you need. And you can tweet us as well at ClydeSSB. So do get in touch if it's any help before we get going. Gordon Dalziel, his head's gone already, isn't it?
No, I'm not happy.
Tell everybody why.
I'm in the wrong seat.
Charlie's stolen your seat.
Yeah, it's like getting on a bus and sitting in the wrong seat, sitting backwards. I'm just not comfortable. And I'm looking in that screen, and the size of him to me is a bit embarrassing now. I'm trying to sort of...
Why do you think I moved him far away from me?
I know. Unbelievable. Hey, are you 6'4"?
6'4", aye.
I've tried to explain this to you, right? There is a rule. The tallest of the pundits needs to go on the outside, right? Because there's no enough room where you are.
But my problem is, you know me, this TV, and it looks quite expensive. That could come down tonight.
Every other pundit we've got, right, would just take it in the chin and say, right, whatever, I'll sit wherever. But you genuinely have mumped and moaned about this for the last 15 minutes before. Is it going to make any difference to your performance?
It will do, because beat the pundit may make a big difference. I'm usually sitting there full of confidence, right? We're used to sending the fatos in here, right? We send the Hannahs and all that, the big, the bulky boys, right? This is the bulky boys.
You're bulkier than him.
Who?
Him.
Charlie. Yeah, probably, because I'm doing the weights. Charlie's just doing a lot of running.
When I was 16, I was 6'2", right? And I signed for Celtic. I don't know if I've told this story before. Mum and dad's small, right? 5'7". My dad, he said he was 5'8", but he's 5'7", right?
My mum, the feeling.
My mum's small as well. And Tommy Byrne said, we walked in, where does he get his height from? My dad was genuine. He was proud. He says, my granny was tall. His granny was about 6 foot. And Tommy Byrne went, who did she play for?
On that note, any other hype related jokes, get them into us on 01419511025. Gordon Deal will eventually stop moaning about it, hopefully, and we can talk football. Like I say, Rangers fans heading along to Ibrox tomorrow. Or I don't know whether to save this for tomorrow or spread it across the two nights. I feel like what we really need to hear from is people who've got Valentine's plans and the football colliding. You know what I mean? People have had to make really tough decisions. People who are risking relationships to go and try and see Rangers go top. I feel like you're
maybe
the
I feel like
you're the perfect man for this conversation.
An important game always fell on this important date.
It's funny that. But anyway,
take your girlfriend, fiance, or whoever, your partner with you to Ibrox. Nice night out.
That will be anyway. If you're heading along tomorrow or keeping an eye on it from afar. How important is it, Rangers fans? How much emphasis do you put on the chance to go top? Philippe Clement, the players, they'll give us all that one game at a time stuff. They'll distance themselves from it, I'm sure. But what do you think? Is there a symbolism attached to it? How do you view that game tomorrow? And Celtic fans, you're very much involved. Like I say, you're just going to have to wait and see the outcome of that one tomorrow. So how do you feel about the title race at the moment? Any Aberdeen fans out there or general members of the Scottish football public? Neil Warnock reckons someone from outside Glasgow could contend at the top of the table if the circumstances were right. I wonder if you agree with that, or is that an absolute impossibility, a pipe dream, a thing of the past? Do let us know. 01419511025. Listen, you ask the question, they will answer. I can just see the word fiancé has appeared on my screen as if by somebody speaking to the producer about their fiancé. I knew this would happen this week. Anyway, let's go to the phone lines and see who's first through. Ross, I believe. How are you, Ross?
Hi, Gordon. Gordon, Charlie. What are you doing?
Ross. How's it going?
I'm all good. Yourselves?
Yeah, not bad.
Just obviously, it was one quick point I've got on the fact, I think it was yesterday, Roger said that there was negative comments coming from outside.
Yep.
I firmly believe, I think the negative comments are coming from inside the club. It's the Celtic fans that are not happy, and it's us that are voicing their opinion. So I would say that a lot of the negative stuff comes from Celtic fans. I've also got a point on the fact that the situation may be bad. Just now, Charlie might be able to come in here in regards to this, but I just feel like the Abada is a really, really important player for Celtic, and I know he's not really been hitting form, but I think with the comments saying that he's not on the right frame of mind, that's telling me that I think he's on the way out of Celtic. And I think if we do lose Abada, I think it would be a massive loss. I just think, obviously, just now with the situation with the Green Brigade and the Palestine stuff, and I'll try and stick away to the politics stuff, Gordon, but just obviously on the football aspect, I think if we lost Abada, I think it would be a massive, massive loss.
Yeah, let's do the second point first. It won't surprise anyone to hear that Charlie Mulgrew and Gordon Deal are not experts in Middle Eastern conflicts and politics. I'm not sure that's why anyone has tuned in tonight, but to obviously not make light of what is a very serious situation, it's a very difficult one for Leah Labada, Gordon. We can agree on that. The nuances of what's going on elsewhere are overwhelming, but for him as a footballer, can you see all of this maybe leading towards just him and Celtic parting ways? His form doesn't seem to be the same as it was.
I think the worrying signs was at Easter Road. He came off the bench, Gordon, and probably had his worst spell on a football park he's had for a long, long time. He was all over the place. I think Mark and I commented on it in the Thursday night show. I felt for a lad, and then after it with the Celtic fans, obviously after that, you know, dramatic winner, the penalty kick, celebrating with their supporters, quite rightly so, after a game. He goes up the tunnel, doesn't take really much part in it. Yeah, I think it could be, unless Brendan Rodgers can turn this round, which he could because he's a very good manager, but I think that just now looking at the situation, I think Abada will leave Celtic in summer.
I think for you, Charlie, to make it very generally again, the reasons for it are quite complex and quite sensitive, but if you're not in the right frame of mind at any club, how tough is that? And then particularly one with a spotlight like Celtic.
Yeah, I think if he's not in the right frame of mind, and he needs to weigh that up, can Brendan Rodgers get the best out of him? Can he bring it back and get the best out of himself? Can he have that connection with the fans and get them on side with him and him playing at his best football? He needs to decide whether he can do that, and that probably takes a couple of weeks and decide that before the summer. And if he can't, then he probably has to go, because the most important thing that he's at his top of his game for Celtic, and he's enjoying his football, and Celtic fans see the best of him, the manager gets the best of him, he's best for the team. And if it's not the case, then for all parties, it's best that he moves on.
Because, look, Ross, I suppose there will be times when a player's not in the right frame of mind for a very different reason, and all it takes is an arm round the shoulder, or a bit of one-on-one time with the manager, or someone within the club being able to help out, you know, maybe personal circumstances. But obviously with the size of this issue, it sort of goes above and beyond all that sort of stuff, you would imagine. Do you feel like it's just going to be too tough to pull this back?
Yeah, I think obviously in terms of, as you say, the sensitive stuff, I think it's going to be tough for Abada to stick around. But I just think, as I say, I know he's not been hitting form, and I think he's one of the players where I think if you look at his form previously, he is a massive, massive, massive player for us. And as I say, I do think that if we lose him, I think it will be a massive loss. And I think in terms of the winger situation, we've obviously got about six or seven wingers at the club and some out on loan, but I do firmly believe, I think Abada is still a massive part of this club, and I would love to see him stay at Celtic.
Gordon, it could be two and two together to add up to five here. It's just a theory. You wonder though, because remember when Nicholas Coon was signed, people were adding up all the wingers, saying the Celtic really need another one. You wonder maybe internally if Roger sort of knew that
Abada
situation either, you know, maybe he will leave at the end of the season, maybe he's not going to be in the right frame of mind, because whilst Ross is right to say he has been a really important player for Celtic, obviously due to injuries, but he's only played 11 times this season, he's only scored one goal, as we've just mentioned, a couple of those have been really non-effective sub appearances, so maybe that was
part of it. I think you've got to take into consideration the boys had injuries.
That's why the 11 appearances,
which has obviously held them back. Look, it's a very difficult one. Nobody knows where Abada's mind is at this moment in time, how he feels. I'm sure Brendan Rodgers, as I touched on, very experienced manager. He knows how to handle players. He's a young player as well. I always say, you never say never in this game, because you never know what's going to throw up. But I will be surprised, especially with the luxury of the amount of wingers that Celtic have got, that Abada will be here for next season.
Let's hear from Brendan Rodgers. This was his explanation as to why he couldn't play the weekend.
Yeah, he wasn't in the right frame of mind. So I'll speak a lot to Lael, and it has been a challenging time for him. And I just felt when he came into the game the other night, it just wasn't him. And so we gave him this chance to have a few days and just clear his mind, and then I'll have a chat with him again next week, see where he's at.
On Ross's first point, to almost go back to it, Ross, so you think, elaborate a bit on what you think's been going on, because Brendan Rodgers says there's negativity, it's outside, there's a narrative, people trying to bring him down and the team down, but you know they'll have their day, I think was the phrase. What's your assessment of that again?
I personally think that a lot of the negativity that's came this season has came from us Celtic fans, because one, we're not happy with the transfer market in the summer, and two, we're not happy with the transfer window in January. And then obviously there's been the situation with, as I say, with Rodgers coming back to start with. So in terms of obviously the negativity he's talking about from the outside, as I say, I just think generally, you know, a lot of the negativity comes from Celtic fans. I don't think a lot of other clubs have said anything negative. I think it's all came from Celtic fans in this show and obviously online.
Yeah, Brendan Rodgers did pick his moment at the weekend, Gordon, to sort of maybe have a bit of a pop at unnecessary negativity, where that comes from. There was fans on last night sort of defending that and saying that's right and we all need to stick together. But Ross is pointing out a lot of it in his mind has come from Celtic fans. Yeah, there have been banners, there was guys standing up shouting at the board. Was that the Hearts game?
Yeah, of course I have. But I'm not going to ship the blame all onto the Celtic supporters, because I think media and pundits have got to take a bit of responsibility. I looked at on Saturday, looked at the Celtic game against St Mirren. After recent performances, although I still tipped them to win the league, I thought they could have been a shock at Paisley. I said that on the show. I thought that St Mirren had a great opportunity to play Celtic, especially with injuries that Celtic had, especially the way Celtic had been performing. I think everybody gives them a bit of criticism when they're not, because they set such a high bar, Gordon. And sometimes it's a bit of a compliment, because you're saying, well, Celtic, people will come on here and say, well, we've only lost one, we're top of the league, we're doing this and we're doing that. But they've set such a high bar. Supporters inside Celtic Park as well demand that. Of course they do. But I don't think you can just put all the blame at the Celtic supporters' door. I think pundits and the media guys certainly have had a little bit of a dig.
But like you?
Yeah, that's what I said. I gave Celtic criticism on Thursday because I looked at wingers, for instance, that they brought in. They've got an abundance of wingers. And I was a bit concerned that I looked at two, three wingers that were never positive, never went to fullbacks, never went by fullbacks. Every time they took the ball, they turned back the way and they played the simple pass. Now, if that's criticising Celtic, I'll take responsibility for that.
You're allowed to do that. Right? I think that's over the top.
But I still said on Saturday when I was put in the spot, I wasn't going to change my mind. I tipped Celtic at the beginning to win the league. I'm staying with that because I've got important players to come back. I think it'll be very tight because Rangers will have a great opportunity tomorrow night to go top of the league and put a bit of pressure on them. But I just think with the players, the manager, everything they've got, I think they'll just pip it.
Charlie, results have actually been pretty good. I think, you know, was it in the last nine, is it eight wins and one draw, that draw up at Aberdeen. What have you made of performances in that time or in the last couple?
I think the narrative all comes from the fact that, as Gordon said there, the bar's been set so high. So in the last 12 years, Celtic have won, what, 10, 11 titles, won a lot of them really comfortably. And I think that's where the Celtic fans are seeing Rangers having a picking up results and not being that clear distance in the league, and they start to feel, oh, no, there's going to be a bit of a title race here, which there's not been a lot of recently. Then on top of that, the summer transfer window isn't great. The January one isn't great. It just builds pressure, and that's the bar that Brendan Rodgers, Ange Postecoglou, and Neil Lennon have set in the last however many years. So I think that you can understand it, and that's the way it goes in the Old Firm. I mean, back when Rangers were winning everything in the 90s, and then Celtic started to come back in it, I'm sure the Rangers fans were then getting worried that that's Celtic coming back, and that's what happens. I mean, there's a title race on definitely this year. It's going to be difficult, and I think that for both teams, and it's just the nature of it. That's what it's like. I mean, the pressure's on both clubs, but right now, because Celtic have been dominating, they're getting the fans and the media are getting on top of them.
The swing must play a part. If the two teams had started neck and neck in August and just stayed neck and neck, and we arrived in February with Celtic top of the league, people would, like you say, would say, look, Celtic are top of the league. What's all the drama? But it almost looked done and dusted
in the,
a couple of months ago.
In the games that Celtic are losing on the Old Firm, they're winning the Old Firm game, so it's like
the important one.
Yeah, it's the ones where the ones that are losing, that's causing a bit more pressure as well. Whereas Rangers, you can kind of, although you don't like losing Old Firm games, you can understand how that's your toughest rival.
There's a few things you can add into. You can look at the Rangers, and Celtic fans will look at the other side of the city and make no doubt about that. Rangers brought in a manager that has impressed a lot of people. You know, defensively, for away from home, don't concede goals, winning games. Got his transfer business done quite early, brought his players in, and the Rangers fans are happy with that. If you flip that, the Celtic fans went with Brendan Rodgers, who said openly, look, I'm looking for four quality players. And Celtic fans automatically thought, right, okay, in January, we've got to get four quality players in here. I find that sometimes very, very difficult for managers to go and do. Celtic couldn't achieve that, but they've still got a very, very good squad, and I think that's where the negativity comes from.
You expect Rangers to go top tomorrow, Ross? Does that, I don't know, does it matter to you? How do you view what could happen this week?
No, I expect Rangers to beat Ross County 3-0 tomorrow, so I expect it to go top, and then pressure's on Celtic and into the game on Saturday against Kilmarnock, which then hopefully we'll go back top and put pressure on Rangers this Sunday. But I agree with Charlie and Gordon. I think it's neck and neck this season, and it's good for Scottish football in terms of a title race. It's obviously not good for the heart rate, Gordon, in terms of going to Celtic games and stuff and watching the games. But no, I'm looking forward to the rest of the season. And right now, if you're asking me who'll win the league, I think it's 50-50. It can go either way.
Thank you very much to Ross. It's a good time to call 01419511025. We'll get you on next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Charlie Mulgrew and Gordon Dalziel are here. I might need to put a call out for any medical professionals out there. We think Gordon Dalziel's struggling with a well-known condition that we'll get to later on in the show. But we'll just let him get through the serious football stuff, and then I'll maybe put some pleas out there for anyone who can come on and help him. Bobby is on the line. How are you, Bobby?
I'm good, Gordon. I'm good. Thanks for taking the call.
Pleasure, Bobby. You're a Rangers fan, so what are you thinking then this week? Chance to go top?
Yeah, hopefully tomorrow night. I guess there's been a lot of excitement around the team in recent weeks with the results that have been coming through, but I still have a major concern about the number nine position, Gordon. We didn't fill it during the January transfer window, and we've effectively got one fit, natural number nine in the building, and I think the fans are probably of the view that he's not the best. And I guess if you look at the... I was looking at the stats. The last three games against... home games against Livingston, Aberdeen and Ayr United, Rangers have had 81 shots at goal and they've scored seven. Against three teams that are average, I would say, at best, we've scored seven goals. I think that tells us that there is an issue in the number nine position. And the main problem, I think, Gordon, is you're getting into the final run-in in a league championship, a Scottish Cup and a Europa League, and we're going with one fit number nine in the building. Mm. Now, I don't know what happened during the window. I don't know who they tried to get, who they failed to get, but I would have thought that would have been the single biggest priority, and it worries me that they haven't fixed it.
Are we overplaying this stuff, Bobby, a little bit? We'll get Gordon's thoughts, being the brilliant goal scorer that he was, as he always tells us, but I know everybody keeps pointing out that Fabio Silva's maybe not out and out number nine. He's maybe not going to be an absolute goal machine, but I wonder if we're now overthinking that a bit. Does he not clearly look capable of playing there and doing a fine job based on what you've seen so far?
Yeah, see, Gordon, I think there's more than goals. There's kind of three things to your number nine. There's hold up, there's linking up the play, and there's scoring goals. And the two guys that obviously everybody wanted to buy during the window, the boy Miowski at Aberdeen and Shankland, obviously do that. Shankland particular to pretty good effect. Silva's, in my view, same with Essers, to be fair, not a hold-up man, not a link-up man, and neither of them are going to bag you goals in the biggest games, in my view. You've got a huge second part of the season coming with a chance to do an extended run in the Europa League if we could get that number nine position fixed, and we haven't done it, and that's what concerns me. Mm. Lack of goals. Yeah. As I said earlier, 81 shots against three kind of relatively average teams, and we're scoring seven out of 81 shots at goal.
Bobby may still be right, Gordon, but to revisit that with you, I mean, look, Fabio Silva's got two goals in his last three games. He's just in the building, and I know people are watching him and saying he likes to maybe drift around, but do they all need to be out and out penalty box number nines? I just wonder if we're over exaggerating his deficiencies
I'm sort of on Bobby's side here. I sort of agree with that. If you're going to go the final push, I think that could be the difference. I think that you look at Silva, I think he's a very good player. I've got to say, I think he's getting better by more games and obviously getting used to the Scottish game. He'll get his few goals, but he'll not be prolific. Absolutely not. I think Sima is a massive miss. He was in great form, scoring goals for fun before he got injured. Dessers is a toss of the coin. You never know what he's getting. Danilo, obviously, long-term injury. Look, Cantwell can chip in. You're looking at your midfield. You're looking at your wide guys. Matondo getting a couple of goals. I think that with the games that are coming up, Europe, the fact that Scottish Cup, and still obviously in a great position for a league, if they had that centre point that I'm not bothered about link-up, hold-up play, just a guy that in the box, because Rangers will create chances for you. They've got creative players, good players. Someone that just sticks the ball in the back of net constantly. Majorski's one at Aberdeen. Shankland, we all know, is one at Hearts. And maybe Rangers looked at maybe bring someone else in for the continent. I don't know. Maybe like Celtic, couldn't get them over the line. But I do agree with a lot of what Bobby says
there. Yeah, totally agree, Bobby. I mean, Dessers looks to me he needs three chances before he can score, three or four chances. Fabio Silva looks like number 10, a winger, number 10 type of player. And I think when Rangers, what I've seen Rangers recently is they look to go more direct. They're not scared to go more direct over the top, which I think is a good thing. So you need somebody that runs in behind. Dessers does that. Silva likes to come to feet, but Dessers needs three or four chances. I mean, if the ball's over the top and behind for Dessers, I wouldn't fancy him to score. And I think that they missed a trick there by not signing Shankland or Miowski.
I know this isn't everything, because just because a team has scored X amount of goals, that doesn't necessarily underline the effectiveness of their number nine, which Bobby is getting at in terms of chances created, chances scored. I think they've scored seven fewer than Celtic. They've played a game fewer. Everybody's apparently expecting Rangers to score, I don't know, at least, you know, two or three tomorrow. The gap between the two and goals scored wouldn't be huge. Does it matter that much, I suppose, if the total is as close as that?
I am not saying for one minute that Rangers can't go on and win the league, win the Scottish Cup or win in Europe. I'm not saying that. There's a lot of games and I think they've got good quality players. And the big, big plus for them, especially away from home since Clement's come into the building, defensively they've been solid. And that's, Charlie will tell you, that's where you build your team from the back and let the midfield players, creative players and the front men go and do their business and win you games. But what I would say is, if they had a Brota, and this is the two names we keep coming up with, Majowski and Shanklin, into the building, that sort of player, I think you'd have been a lot more confident of Rangers going and achieving that.
Well, here's a difference straight away. Do you remember the Old Firm game when Dessers goes through and goals a couple of times and he takes an age to have a shot at goal? Goals change games. That could have been the difference of Rangers getting a draw or a result that day, and that's what makes a difference with points. And there's no doubt from now to the end of the season, Rangers are going to have a few games where it's going to come late in the game and they're going to need goals. And that's where a prolific striker that knows where to be in the box, like Shankland or Majowski, that's where they pull you out of hole. And how many times have we saw it, the strikers that are prolific like that scoring big goals at big games?
Bobby, no, you're not taking confidence from the fact that, you know, the manager seems to be getting a tune out of whatever's there at the moment. You still think it's going to fall short, or can he squeeze that title winning bit out?
No, I mean, Gordon, he has done. He's obviously squeezed more out of the guys that were in the building before he got there. I absolutely get that. But like Charlie's saying there, my fear is when you're playing against Ayr United and Livingston and the St Mirrens of this world, you might get away with misfiring strikers. But when you're into the dying embers of a championship and you're up against the Celtics and you're up against really strong competition in the Europa League, you won't get away with a misfiring striker. That's my fear. I mean, defensively, we're doing well, but up front, you need, and the competitions that they're now finding themselves in at the advanced stage, you need a number nine that can bag you goals. And I'm surprised that nothing came out in any sort of media to say who he tried to go for, why did they not get them. I mean, I know the boy Van Veen, not saying he's the answer, but he was clearly available. If he's going to Kilmarnock, whether he would have been the answer in a 6 months loan, at least to give us another option, I don't know. But to go with one guy, one fit number nine, who we've all agreed isn't the best, is a massive risk.
Yeah, I think months, Philippe Clement said after the transfer window that he was pretty happy with what he got. He didn't seem to be suggesting that they had gone for someone and missed out. It seemed like he was happy with what he had. And let's hear a bit in terms of tomorrow. The manager says he won't look at the league table after the Ross County game. However, he does think that increased excitement and expectation from supporters could help the players on the pitch.
If fans are excited, it's only a good thing. It gives energy. But we're only busy with our own game and Ross County. That's the only thing. So it's good for the players also. For sure, a few months ago, it was another kind of noise when they came on the pitch, and they didn't like that one. So this one they like, I know already from the last games. So that's a positive thing. All the games are important, and I know I'm quite a boring guy about that because I repeat myself a lot, but it's the only way, and I know I've been long enough in this game. It's the only way to have success if your mindset is like that. So I will keep my mindset because I want to win things. And I will see that my players keep that mindset also. I will not look at the league table. I will be happy if we won the game. That's the only thing.
Managers always tell us that. Players tell us that. You're now free of all that stuff. You can be honest. The players look at
straight onto the bus. Sky Sports app to see the table. 100%. He doesn't tell his players that, but there's no way. He knows exactly how that table's sitting. And it's impossible not to have a look. I mean, don't get me wrong, he'll be completely professional and he might not tell his players that, but he's going to have a look, isn't he?
In terms of, because for the players as well, I wonder what it's like, right? Because they'll all, because I'm sure he's been honest in terms of the message. He's not going to be talking about it in training. Yep. He'll just be focused on process and all that stuff. But the players are then going to presumably run out against Ross County, and it's going to be much louder than it would be for a midweek game against Ross County in September when you're 7 points behind. It just is. So as a player, how do you actually focus on just that? You know, or how do you actually put it to one side that it can be a night we go
you
top?
You don't put it to one side. You know exactly what's happening. You know exactly if we win this game right for the start, give ourselves a good start, get a few goals here, and we can make the game easy for ourselves and go top the league tonight. And it's just that's just naturally what it is. It's the same thing as if Celtic have got an early kickoff before they play Rangers, and they take a wee stretch of 3 points at the top of the league, and you have to run out that tunnel. There's a bit of you going, oh, we didn't need that. You always get a lift if the team had dropped points just before you. I remember playing in the Sunday, and Rangers were going down to train at Barrowfield the day before the game, before we went to the hotel, and Rangers were playing early, and we were training a bit later, so we kept looking at the result, and we realised Rangers, I think they drew it to Dundee United or something, 3 each, and the buzz and the lift you got leaving the training ground to go to the hotel, knowing that the next day you turn up, you win the game, you go even further clear, or you go top of the league. It's 100% the players know.
Yeah, thank you to Bobby. What about Karen then? Karen's on the line. How are you, Karen?
Yeah, I'm fine, thank you.
What are you thinking tomorrow night?
Yeah, I think we will do it. I do think we will go top of the league. That's what I was phoning because you were talking earlier about Valentine's.
Oh, yes.
And, well, I'm a Rangers fan. My fiancé is a Celtic fan.
Ooh.
And I said to him, I'll make a nice dinner, but then I'm going to watch the football.
Love it.
I see why not. What are you cooking, Karen?
Sorry?
What are you cooking?
Doing a 3-course dinner, doing prawns, then steak, and then a caramel cheesecake.
If that was me,
don't say anything you're going to regret. No, that would be my advice to you.
I would be over the moon with that, and I'd be saying to Karen, enjoy the game as I'm closing the door to sit down, watch a TV with a nice glass of wine after that fantastic dinner.
Karen, is your cooking good enough that your fiance is going to make up for potentially seeing your team go above his in the league?
Oh yeah.
It's a bit of took a minute, but there is a bit of confidence in there. So you're going off to the game and leaving him on his own.
All I wanted for Valentine's.
So if Rangers lose the game, is there still a bit of romance when you come back for the game?
Nah.
What if they win?
What she's really saying is there's no dessert.
Karen, I'm worried about this. These two have got that mischievous look in their eye.
All I wanted for Valentine's was Rangers to be top of the league. And then his answer was to me, well, we know what happened a few years ago on Valentine's Day.
Oh, well, yeah, that is very true. See, Aaron's keeping this very much football focused, which I suspect you two are trying not to do.
That's so, why our mics are down.
I think it's in everyone's best interest that we draw a line under it right now. Wish Karen Ander, what's your fiance's name, Karen?
Kevin,
we wish you both the best.
There,
hope you have a successful night, whatever that means for both of you. 01419511025. Get your calls in whilst I tell you about this. Clyde One. You're scared of heights, aren't you?
Yeah.
Imagine being up the scaffolding, right? That's where Ollie was when he got the call and won £122,000. That'd be enough to tip you over the edge, wouldn't it?
Yeah, did it tip Ollie over?
No, I think he's very much fine. He's renting a home at the moment, so he's got a partner, little boy in the cards. He's going to maybe move. So brilliant. Great stuff for Ollie. £122,000. You could be the winner of £125,000. You'd kick the backside out of Valentine's Day with that sort of money, wouldn't you? But you need to be in the draw. So text yes to 61025. If you do it right now, you'll get two entries for the price of one text entry. Texts are £2 plus your standard network rate. Enter at Clyde1.com for £2 or call 0330 880 4523, and the calls are charged at a standard rate as well. It is over 18s only, and all the rules for this network competition can be found online. The important bit, if you get the call after 3 p.m. tomorrow, answer within five rings, say make me a winner straight away, and that's how you win the £125,000. Text yes to 61025.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dalziel and Charlie Mulgrew are here. We think Gordon Dalziel's got gout, don't we? How are you holding up?
I've got a sore ankle, that's for sure.
That's what I'm saying. We think we've got to the bottom of it because you came in.
You have diagnosed this.
Well, you came in with your crutches a couple of weeks ago, which we ridiculed you for. but it's not going away, and you've discovered that it comes and it goes. So it's not like, Charlie, you've had all the injuries under the sun, I'm sure. That's
that didn't make sense. I was thinking a tendon thing because it was coming inflammation when you were sleeping, but gout sounds a bit right. Especially with
how
the,
do you know you've never had gout? Never.
But you're taking creatine into it full acid. You're trying to get ripped in that for the summer.
Yeah,
that,
we googled we reckon it is gout.
Well, I had great physio yesterday. I've got to say, for Gavin and Stuart.
So if there's any doctors out there that want to help us, give them any causes or cures, we'll take them all. Because we need to fix this guy. He's been limping for 2 weeks and he's doing my head in.
No, it's more than 2 weeks. I'm on my third week.
Is it the third week, is it?
Yeah, I'm not
happy.
Do
you drink red wine?
Occasionally. But I don't really... I think that's an old...
Is it?
Wise tale. Right. Yeah. I think it's all about... I think my supplements are too much for my bodybuilding.
Steroids.
Yeah, my supplements, yeah. My bodybuilding, I
think,
too much.
I think we've got to the bottom of it. So if anyone can give me any, you know, we could do, you know, like alternative therapies. There must be like some old wives' tales out there that can cure you of your gout.
No, a lot of people say it's meat and this nonsense. That's gone.
Our listeners will tell us.
No, the
there's
listeners,
nothing they don't know. 0141 951 1025 if you want to help Gordon DL out or talk football, which David in Shawlands wants to do. How's it going, David?
Hi there, how are you doing?
Good, you?
David.
First time caller.
Right, what made you call then?
It was the Lauren Shankland Miofsky debate. It was just, see, regarding the Old Firm, the two of them are linked for them, regarding the $5 million price tag. Do you not think Miofsky would have been a better value for money? I know Rangers and Celtic now, they're a selling club. Regarding a sell on value, Lauren Shankland's 28 now. I mean, is he looking at his last contract compared to Miofsky?
What do you think?
I think it's a difficult one. If you're sitting there and you've, for instance, the two of them come up and say, right, okay, we can have them for $5 million quid, who do you pick? Of course, I think David makes a great point. Age, 24, Miofsky, to Shanklin, 28. But Shanklin is just an absolute goal machine. I think scoring goals is slightly tips it for me, right? As a natural goal scorer. But I think Miofsky's got so much to his game. I really do. And added to that, he will certainly get you goals as well. I think it'd be a real difficult one because I can understand that people say, well, you're better with the 24-year-old. Sometimes you bring in a Shankland, he could pay for that transfer over and over again, especially with the amount of goals that he could get you.
How good do you think Miofsky is?
I think Miofsky's very good. Yeah. Very, very good. I didn't think he was as good until his last two games when I saw him up at Pittodrie Live against Celtic and then the Ibrox. And what a handful he was, right, good player. And I think the $5 million price tag, I think he would have got Shanklin for quite a bit cheaper than that.
I mean, the Hearts fans will be on you for saying that, obviously. Yeah. But
who are you taking, Charlie? If you're sitting there and you two of them are the same price and it's January window now, who are you taking?
Oh, it's tough, that, isn't it?
Well, that's why you'd be a manager, mate. You've got to make tough decisions.
Is that why David's not right, though? David is right, sorry, that whether you like it or not, if you're talking about how much you pay for someone, you have to take their age into account. How long can I get out of this player? Yeah. Well, say Lauren Shankland's retiring next summer, but he'll retire before.
If you go and pay, right, Charlie says less than $5 million, right? Okay, I don't know what the price would be, but if you go and pay between that, 1 million, 5 million, let's put them in that bracket for Shankland, and you're successful in Europe and you win the league. It doesn't matter what age you are, because that's paid 100 times over.
You can argue you can get 10 year service for Shankland.
38?
Why not? Well, no far off it. We'll just say 37. I just retired at 37.
Okay, 9 years.
You're bagging the. Well, whatever. He's still getting a lot of service. People say 28 as if he's done. He's coming. I would say he's coming into his prime. Miofsky, you can sell on, but you probably need to pay a bit more for him. But there's no guarantees that. I don't know.
Who would you take, Charlie?
I'm taking Shankland.
David, it's quite telling, I think, that we did all this during the transfer window. It's still not going anywhere. I feel like, you know, we're out of the window. Are you still living with a regret that you think your club should have gone for one of them, whichever one of them?
I don't know. Being honest with you, I think we should have went. Rangers never do have a business with Aberdeen. I mean, I would have took Miofsky, being honest with you. Just, he's younger. we don't know what he can do in this league. There's a better sell-on value. I mean, I get the guy's points. Shankland can maybe win a league and maybe do well in Europe, but at the end of it, we've got no sell-on value.
It's nice
but surely if you're successful, the money that you get from winning mm-hmm. competitions, winning the league, being in Europe, I'm not saying Shanklin's got to make Rangers win Europa League, absolutely not, but I think you've got a better chance with Shanklin in your team. I'm sitting on the fence with it because I've forced Charlie into an answer, and you're
not willing to give us one.
And I'd probably take two of them.
I think what you get with Shanklin as well, you get a Scottish player playing in Scotland, probably going to be one of your leaders in the changing room, helps bringing you through the young lads, helps new signings settle. I mean, I don't know what Miosky's like as a lad, but I think that you probably get more of a leader in Shankland as well in your changing room. He's a captain of Hearts. So all that comes into consideration. So what that value is for your club is a lot more than just saying you've got a 28-year-old who's coming to the end of his career. Because as I said, mm-hmm. you could potentially have another 10 years out of Shankland.
I've caused chaos. The phone lines are absolutely going crazy because of the gout.
Oh, the gout. Well, nothing to do with Shanklin's fee.
No, not nothing to do with the foot. Genuinely, every single call I can just see. There's like all.
Should we get your ankle up on the table so the viewers can see it? That are watching live.
The public are concerned.
Can you cut your toenails?
Oh, my feet are as clean as anything.
Anyway, David.
No, my socks are.
You've only got four toes, though.
David. David, the chance to go top tomorrow, what does that do for you?
No, I'm sorry, I'm not believing that. Being top means nothing. End of the season counts. So
has Philippe Clement been on to you?
Well, listen, I was a Ryan Kent getting back in the club, and that sort of get blown out of the water. I need to pull this cream off my face and just leave it at that.
Indeed. I mean, some fans, to be fair, Gordon, are... Like David, that's fine. There is a long way to go. I think we totally get that. And you would get Philippe Clement's messaging and all the rest of it. Still can't shake that. There's going to be an expectation tomorrow from the Rangers fans. You're going to be able to sense it inside Ibrox.
We had the same scenario last week, didn't we? Against Aberdeen, but I think it's different this week mm-hmm. because...
Well, this is the game in hand as well, remember.
Yeah. And it's Ross County.
Last week was about going top, maybe, for a day until Celtic played again the following evening. This is it. This is the game in hand that's been... in the background for a couple of months now.
Look, I think every Rangers fan going along tomorrow night will expect Rangers to be top of the league by the end of the game because they're playing a Ross County side that have just changed their manager. An interim manager, Don Cowie's come in. It's a big job for him. But they've not been in good form. They went to Fir Park and lost 5 and could have been a lot more. On the back of that, their manager resigned or, you know, they came to an agreement. So I think if you're Rangers and you're a supporter, you're looking for a good performance in top of the league tomorrow night.
What a show this is. We've had so many calls in. One from, I don't know if people want to stay anonymous. Somebody's phoned in to say that too much Buckfast at the football gave them gout. Is that your
too
excuse?
Obviously football, we can rule that out.
There's another anonymous one, I think. I'll leave the names. A woman in Australia told him that you have to grate ginger onto a napkin and put it on the sole of your foot. We could do that during the break. Producer.
Great ginger.
Whichever producer's in there, they could get to Asda by the time we come back.
Ginger,
a napkin, your foot on that desk, that camera. I can see that.
If it cures my sore ankle and I can get golfing, I'll lie up there till the show finishes.
I'm a bit nervous because like Lee and Martin are on and they're telling us about like actual medication that you should get. I just don't feel like it's responsible for me to be advising people to get proper medication, but I'll take it. Get that sock off. Give us all a look at it. There could be a doctor out there watching this live stream.
My lad yesterday was surprised. There is bound the size
to
of my
see
ankle.
If you think about how popular this show is. There's bound to be a doctor out there that could diagnose. This could be the first ever live stream diagnosis in Scottish football.
Do you think so?
I don't know. It's made up, but it sounds
right,
plausible.
Okay. I'll nip into the toilet and wash the old feet before.
Good. Don't make us sick.
01419511125 is the number you need, and we're going to play this right now.
Beat the pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, it is Beat the Pundit time. Your chance to win a signed ball, but only if you can get beyond Gordon DL or Charlie Mulgrew. 01419511025, and the calls have to be in before 7.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Charlie Mulgrew and Gordon DL still here. What about the state of that foot that he just showed us during the break? I'm so glad he put his sock back on.
Outrageous. That was a left foot lad in your career. You wouldn't be sitting here.
That was absolutely disgusting.
That's
honestly
the Dumb and Dumber when he goes to get his nails clipped.
That's a good point. I've had various tweets in likening you to Winston Ingram of Still Game. And some others as well. So
he would have beat me in a 10-yard race.
We'll keep the homemade remedies coming in to solve Gordon DL's issues. Keep the calls coming. We're talking, of course, about Rangers having a chance to go top tomorrow night. I wonder how much emphasis you put on that as a fan. Philippe Clement, the messaging's quite clear about focusing on the game and the performance, but he does acknowledge fans are bound to get excited and there's bound to be a noise in Ibrox tomorrow that reflects that. Celtic fans, give us your side of things as well. Here's one maybe everyone can get involved in. It kind of rears its head from time to time, but Neil Warnock reckons that someone outside Glasgow could potentially compete for that title. Is that likely in our lifetimes? Let us know. 0141 951 1025, and we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. How's the form?
Last week
you had a nightmare actually.
No, mixed bag. I won Tuesday, a convincing one.
And then lost
Brilliant.
Thursday, tiebreaker.
Tiebreaker. I'm like,
that was your Scotland hat tricks question.
Yeah.
That was abysmal.
Oh, it was unlucky.
How many players in the entire history of the Scotland national team have scored a hat trick? He said three.
Yeah, I missed the other three.
There was probably three in your career.
I can
Scotland hat tricks did you witness? Did you play James Forrest? Israel?
James Forrest.
Fletcher.
Fletcher, either he playing.
Many would you have gone?
I'd have went.
Well, he's seen four. Three.
You'd have went four.
So he's okay, giving
so I'd have went.
Oh, hurry up!
I'd have went.
Remember, we're only one beat the pundit for a couple of minutes, mate.
25.
See, he'd have been closer than you. 33. It was.
Seriously.
He's witnessed three of them. This guy. Anyway,
I took the question wrong.
Blair is in Irvine. How's it going, Blair?
Hello, bad. How's it going?
Not bad. You ever played before?
I haven't. No.
Right, Gordon DL is like inconsistent. I would say he's. Yeah. He's likely to make a mistake. Charlie Mulgrew's only played three times, but he's only won once. So it could be something you can take advantage of. Heads, it will be Gordon Dale.
He's a
Charlie.
Bit nervous.
He doesn't like it.
He closes his eyes at the toss-up.
Heads, it will be Gordon, because your head's not. You're usually tails, because you've changed seat tonight. Let's see how it goes.
Your heads.
Oh, you're going to be raging at this. Well, it was going to have an impact either way. Heads.
I told you.
So normally that wouldn't be you, but you've swapped
seats. You need to swap seats for me.
So it is. It's you, I'm afraid. I made you swap. Tallest goes
right,
on the
okay.
outside.
All the best, Blair.
All the best, Gordon.
Don't panic.
Right, let's give Gordon some greatest hits radio to listen to, just so that we can't hear us here. Right, 30 seconds, Blair. Answer as many as you can and pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
No problem.
Right, let's go. Your 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Oscar Cortez is on loan from which team?
One.
Who's Celtic's assistant manager?
John Kennedy.
Who's Kilmarnock's top scorer this season?
Danny Armstrong.
Barry Ferguson's only honour outside of Scotland came at which club?
Birmingham.
Which round of the Champions League starts tonight?
The round of 16.
Who's Ross County's interim manager?
Oh, pass.
Jack Butland has made his most appearances for which club?
Pass, I don't know.
Oh, you should have guessed a team. Let's bring Gordon DL back. Are you ready, Gordon? Can you hear us?
Yeah, sorry.
What do you mean, sorry?
I'm looking at her. What does that say?
There. Yeah. No, it's just the numbers on the other side backwards.
What for?
He
colours in.
I know, I can see that. He's tracing things on his sheet to keep him occupied.
I'm trying to draw your foot.
Right, go.
Got a green pen.
Go. Come on.
30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. Oscar Cortez is on loan from which team?
Oh, I can't remember. Pat.
Who's Celtic's assistant manager?
John Kennedy.
Who's Kilmarnock's top scorer this season?
Watkins.
Barry Ferguson's only honour outside of Scotland came at which club?
Blackburn.
Which round of the Champions League starts tonight?
Quarterfinal.
Who is Ross County's interim manager?
Don Cowie.
Jack Butland has made his most appearances for which club?
Crystal Palace.
Who's got more Celtic appearances, Scott Brown or Paul McStay?
I would say Scott Brown.
Okay, what do you think, Blair? Have you done enough?
Oh, I think he's done maybe one, I think.
It was back and forward. I didn't think they were tough.
Who do you want, Scott Brown or Paul McStay? That was a tight
one. I went Scott Brown as well.
Oscar Cortez is on loan from Longs, which is 1-0 to
wouldn't
Blair.
Wouldn't get that.
No, I wouldn't have got that.
John Kennedy is, of course, the assistant of Celtic, so you both got that. Gordon stays one behind until, you correctly said, Marley Watkins is Kilmarnock's top scorer. Mad. We're all level. Barry Ferguson's only honour outside of Scotland came at Birmingham.
Oh, I knew it started with a B. Did you get that?
Blair got it. Remember, it was the 2011 League Cup to beat Arsenal.
Yeah,
Alex McLeish, the manager. So Blair goes one in front, I think. The round of 16. Look at you trying to figure out if that is the quarterfinals. Yeah, it's not the quarterfinals. It's the one before that. And Blair got it.
Oh, I'm beat.
Two up. Ross County's interim manager is Don Cowie. You pulled that back. Blair didn't get it. You trail by one, Gordon DL.
What's the final one?
Jack Butland has made his most appearances. Blair passed that. That was his last question.
Oh, no, it's not Crystal Palace.
You said Crystal Palace.
Is it?
It's Stoke City.
Oh, Stoke, that's right.
Aye, okay, Blair.
So Blair still leads by one, and it all comes down to a big 50-50. Who's got more Celtic appearances?
Please tell me he went Paul McStay.
He didn't get that far. So all just comes down to you. Scott Brown or Paul McStay. You went Scott Brown. You would have gone Scott Brown. It's Paul McStay. Blair has done you. Well done, Blair.
Yeah, thank you.
I wasn't really too bored because at the end of the day.
Many did you get there, Blair?
4-3.
I get 4-3.
Oh, even if I'd have got that right, Blair would have won the tiebreaker.
Because you're so bad at the tiebreaker.
I could be to tiebreaks, aren't you?
He's okay, good, Blair. Right. One victory doesn't mean a summer, mate. Just calm yourself down.
That's not even a saying, though, is it?
No, it's my saying tonight. It's because I'm the wrong seat. I caused him the wrong seat. Many would you have got
it's
there.
Completely made up. One win does not mean a summer.
It's one swallow, isn't it? That used to, but I just went one victory.
That used to be my favourite. See, when I was out more often than I'm now interviewing managers, there was one manager in particular who was so bad for it. I won't dig him out, but every week, and it was as if it was deliberate, it would be like water off a monkey's back or looking to get the duck off your back, you know, like just complete mixed metaphors all the time. Absolutely loved it every week, like clockwork. Superb. Anyway,
that's
well
two
done
in a
Blair
row for me.
Meet him at Irvine Beach, he'll pass the ball over.
Well done, Blair.
Thank you.
Well done, Blair.
I'm only kidding, Blair.
That's poor from you. Two in a row.
Brilliant. Two in a row. Tie break. Should I go up? Do you know what's wrong? I should have went with McStay, you know.
Well, I mean, obviously. Yeah, I don't know how else you want me to answer that.
I think I'd have brought me back into a game.
Some innings from them both. I'm always a bit wary of which site's been used to check, but on the, according to this, 6.83 for McStay, 6.20 for Scott Brown. Some going that, isn't it?
I'm going to look at that and break.
You do that. 01419511025. Whether you want to talk title race, the game's tomorrow. Anything left over from the weekend? We said Neil Warnock reckons that it is possible that a team out with Glasgow could make a title challenge. How do you feel about that? Fans of all teams, really, I think, could chip in there. 01419511025. Lawrence is on the line. I'm looking forward to this. How are you, Lawrence?
Absolutely fine, thank you.
Lawrence reckons he's not even bothered about football. I don't even know if he likes it. He reckons he could diagnose you over the phone.
Lawrence, what do you do for a living, Lawrence?
I used to be a physio.
You used to be
right,
a physio?
Right, Lawrence, you've got 30 seconds to ask him the necessary questions.
I'm retired.
Come on, Lawrence, quick. 30 seconds, go. I've got a sore ankle.
What ankle is it?
Does it matter? Left.
Aye.
Left.
It's the left one.
Yeah.
You're not a left footer, so it can't be that one.
Right.
Right, okay.
Okay.
I'm certainly not a left footer,
whereabouts,
no.
Whereabouts on the ankle is it?
Inside and underneath my foot as well.
Aye, well, that's a plantar fasciitis you've got. Okay, mate. And that's not a bad word.
I know what that is, yes. And you're going to tell me you got a tennis ball out.
I think a bit of potent information would be the fact that it's happening every during the night. He goes to sleep, he wakes up with it.
It's during the night, Lawrence. It's just flaring up.
Corticosteroid injection in it, mate. And that'll sort you out.
Lawrence, okay. I'm having problems in bed. That's my problem. Can you sort that out for me?
Oh, well, that might be a neuritis.
I think we better move on. Honestly, this show just plunges to new depths regularly.
Oh, brilliant.
Anyway, right, we'll solve you. We'll cure you by the end of the night. Thank you to Lawrence and Kings Park for giving it a good go. 01419511025. 5. That's a poor from you on Beat the Pundit, the way.
I thought, okay, a wee bit lucky, unlucky with Blackburn. I should have really went Birmingham. That's just unlucky. It starts with a B. And a 50-50 with McStay. Apart from that, I'm not
You're
really
apart
disab-
from that.
And I shouldn't be sitting in a seat because I'm uncomfortable.
01419511025. Let's hear a bit from Neil Warnock, right? Because I just think this is the type of discussion that everybody can throw their tuppence worth into. He's been speaking today ahead of that game tomorrow against Motherwell, which is a massive game for both, and he believes it is possible for teams in Scotland to challenge Celtic and Rangers. However, thinks it'll take time and good recruitment.
I think it is possible to break into the big timers, but I think it would take anybody time to do that, to bring the quality. You know, having looked at two or three games now, I can see certain players that I've had under me relishing the challenge up here. Are you with me? That's the big thing for the club, like Aberdeen, you know, your Hibs and your Hearts and all those others. Are you challenging those top two? But I've not had a long time really to have looked beyond that. At any club you go to, I think the recruitment's got to be excellent, really, in liaison with the manager. Then it's all about opinions, really. My opinion probably would be different on a player than it would be for another manager.
It's a very general and open question, a complex issue, but in summary, can other teams get close? Can they challenge?
I think they can. I think a team outside Old Firm can win the league.
But, wow.
But I think that it's going to take time, exactly like Warnock says, and it's also going to take a chairman to align the full club and allow his sporting director or his chief executive to be in the same page as him in terms of how he sees the club and how he sees the style of play. Have a manager in place that is willing to play that way, and have the recruitment team, the scouts, the youth coaches, everybody in the full building, the first team coaches, everybody in alignment with how the club are going to play and how they want the team to be on the pitch. And I think a great example is Barcelona when they were looking for a new manager. There's a Pep Guardiola documentary on BBC iPlayer, and they talk about when they were going through a bad spell and they were looking for a new manager. And Jose Mourinho was flying at the time. I think he'd won one or two Champions Leagues, and he was the outstanding candidate, and they were about to appoint him. And Cruyff said he doesn't align with the Barcelona way of playing. And they said, who do you think we should take? And they said, take the B team manager who's there at the moment, which was a big step for Barcelona to do, for their president to give the B-team coach the job. And the B-team coach ended up being Pep Guardiola because he fitted the Barcelona DNA. Now, I think that if a club in Scotland were to not think short-term about winning games in the short-term, about looking to start and give a whole revamp of a club, starting from top to bottom, and have everybody on the same page the way they see their team playing, and recruiting a manager that has that style, that has time to recruit players based on how he sees the game and how the club see the game, I think over the course of 2-3 years, 6-8 transfer windows, young lads coming through, having played the same way through the 16s, 18s reserves, I think all things need to go, all ducks need to fall in the same row, but I think definitely it can be done. I think if it's done from top to bottom properly, there's definitely a possibility it can be done.
How do you cut through, Gordon, the unavoidable fact, and I'm being quite general with the statistics here because I don't have the latest ones, but that Celtic and Rangers, to a point as well, even when compared to Hibs and Hearts and Aberdeen, I don't know, you're probably still talking 6-7 times the wage bill, something like that, and football generally just falls into the richest teams win. I mean, not always. There's going to be examples. How do we find a not always thing?
Yeah. Well, I agree with you, Charlie. If you're going to do it, that's probably the way you'll have to go about it. Whether it can be done, I'm a little bit more sceptical of it. You look back to Fergie's time, and I was very fortunate that I played at that time, and I remember him coming down to Glasgow, and he took on the big two, Celtic and Rangers. In fact, I lost 2 Scottish Cup finals to his Aberdeen side. And it was through basically that sort of he brought young desired, hungry players into the team, and he matched it with a couple of good experience. He built from the back. They were a terrific side. They were successful in Europe. We've not seen the likes of that again. I think it would be very, very difficult. I just think that football's moved on from that. I think that you look at our Premier League, Charlie's talking about bringing someone in with the Barcelona way. We're getting managers that lose 3-4 games in the Premier League and get sacked.
That's my exact point. Yeah. I think with the chairman and the sporting director, or the chairman and
having
the
chief executive, a long-term plan.
A long-term plan. So it's not, if you base success just on results alone, how can you ever get any better? Because all you're ever doing is saying, right, we won a game, let's move on to next week game. But you could actually win a game and play terrible and not play in any sort of style, game of basketball, toss a coin, whoever wins a game. And then you go next week, you don't analyse it because you don't know how you've won. You go into next week and you lose, what do you do then? So I think we're too, in this country, we're too busy basing success on results. Ultimately, we know results are most important, but I think you need to understand how you get the results in order to move forward as a club and progress.
I don't think it'll be the next 5-10 years, to be honest with you, because you look at our league just now, right? Rangers this season were poor under Michael Beale, changed their manager. You look at Celtic have come in for criticism of their summer transfer window, the amount of players that you know wasn't up to Celtic quality. So they've not hit the heights this year, and you would never look at a Hearts, Aberdeen or teams like that would challenge them. So what I'm saying is I sort of agree with Charlie. If you're going to do it, that's the only way you could achieve it. But whether that's going to happen over the next 5-10 years, I very much doubt it. I find that Celtic and Rangers will just get stronger and stronger.
I think if it get a chance of happening, it's the only way it can happen. I think if you just keep sacking managers, bringing in managers, hoping for short-term success, you only ever get short-term success 6 months, maybe a year, getting a European place. And then if you don't have these right structures in place, and when I talk about, just to be clear, when I talk about having a style, if you're a team that want to play 4-4-2, for talking sake, and you want to have two big strikers and you want to get it forward as quick as possible, your recruitment should be based on that. So even if you've got a player that's flying, who's small and quick, who doesn't fit into that sort of Burnley type of way of playing, and you've got somebody that's maybe no get as big a name, but they'll do a job up front because they're tall and they fit into your way of playing, then you sign that player. And over the course of 3-4 years, you'll see a team that are playing the way you're bringing young lads through. You can sell young lads because they're going to come through knowing exactly what their job is. The recruitment for a young age is bringing that type of player in. You're getting wingers that put the ball in the box for these two big strikers. I'm just giving you an example of a way it can be done. So you're bringing young players through that know exactly what the job is and what's entailed with coming into the first team. So it's a seamless transition for the 16s, 18s, reserves into the first team. And then that's how you sell players on. And teams will buy players because they think, because you could get a player that's not fancied by one team, but if he's banging goals in for you because he shoots your way of playing, he's going to draw attention and people are going to sign him. Whereas if you're playing a different style, for example, at Dundee United, we had Dylan Levitt, who was a great signing, but we also had Stephen Fletcher. So Dylan Levitt's a player that you need to, he's a great player, great midfielder, I really like him, but you need to have possession of the ball if you want to have Dylan Levitt in your team, because he's a footballer that likes to play football. Where we had Stephen Fletcher, who was a target man.
The ball's gone over Dylan Levitt's head to get to
Stephen Fletcher to play at his strengths. Whereas, I'm not saying Fletcher can't play at feet, but he can, but if you're not playing football and you're playing long balls, you're missing Dylan Levitt out, who can potentially move for £5 million, whereas you're playing total football, Dylan Levitt's going to shine.
Get back to your point, get back to Fergie's point just quickly, when he dominated, the contract situation was completely different. You could build a team because you were in control of the contracts, you were in control of the players. Nowadays, you bring up young players who are brilliant, you'd be selling them within 6 months a year.
Thomas says, Charlie's point of managing a certain way only works if we've got a 14 or 16 team league. It's too close to the playoffs after 3 or 4 defeats for most teams. Maybe that creates the culture as well.
Just quickly on that, you need to be willing to say, right, well, we might go down doing this, but if you look at the history of teams that go down, the chances are they bounce right back up. So you're taking a risk, but your risk is based on what are we going to look like in 5 to 10 years' time?
Maybe one aimed at the so-called bigger clubs out with Glasgow, but lots of you can chip in if you want to have your say. You want to focus more specifically back on tomorrow night's games or the title race or Gordon Dale's feet, whatever you want. 01419511025. Get your calls in.
Clyde One Live, celebrating the first 50 years.
Yes, for the last 50 years, Clyde One's brought you some of the best and most memorable live gigs. We felt it was time to do it again, so we are bringing back Clyde One Live as part of the 50th celebrations of this radio station. We're going to take over the Ovo Hydro on Friday, the 31st of May, and we want you to be there. Got some huge names joining us. The full lineup will be revealed soon, but if you want to get your place secured before they sell out, you can head to ClydeOne.com.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Charlie McGrew and Gordon Dale are here on 0141 951 1025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB. Keep your calls coming in, whatever is on your mind, whether it's the title race, looking ahead to tomorrow's games. Neil Warnock, he's sort of new to these parts, and he was asked if he thought any team outside of Glasgow could ever make a go at it at the top of the table. Wonder what your thoughts are there. And whilst you get your calls in, let me give you this question.
The full-time teaser with Universal Interiors East Kilbride, where their made-to-measure wardrobes are always on the ball.
I think elements of this are really easy, so we'll see how you get on. Thanks to Dean for sending it in. Did you hear about the nightmare I had on last night's?
No, what happened?
No.
So, wrong question.
No. So I've got the full time. I'm going to make sure I don't make the same mistake. So I've got the beat the pundit questions, as you know, because you lost tonight, and the full time teaser questions. So Kenny Miller went for the 10 last night. He got 10 right on beat the pundit. So when I was like marking them, sort of thing, I was holding them up to him like this,
and he was reading them.
But I had the full time teaser questions, showing them off to everybody, including Roger Hanna, who sat and wrote them all down. And with 10 seconds of the show remaining, revealed that, because some of them were, even by his standards, you're thinking like no one's ever getting them.
And he didn't even say to you.
And then with 10 seconds to go, he said, "Yeah, I saw it in your paper."
Listen, it's a challenge. Charlie and I like the challenge.
Tonight it's easier. Thanks to Dean. Since the introduction of permanent squad numbers in Scotland, Celtic have had 7 number ones. Can you name them? 7 number ones. I mean, they're bound to be easy ones. So,
Joe Hart, obviously.
Yeah, you okay, Charlie?
Fraser Foster.
Yeah, okay. We'll leave it there and see. Would you care to throw a sort of more obscure one out there? Not every goalie's number one, but
Number one, Barkas.
Yes. Okay, we'll leave it there and see how you get on. Thanks to Dean for sending it in. Looking for Celtic's 7 number ones since permanent squad numbers were a thing, since they came into Scottish football. Let's still just, Steve wants to tell you to eat cherries and drink cherry juice. I mean, honestly, like for your gout. Anyway, Jamie's on the line. How's it going, Jamie?
Hi, Gordon. How you doing? You all right?
Yeah, good here. What are your thoughts for us tonight, Jamie?
Well, the reason I was listening there, actually, I listen every night. Big fan of the show. And I was listening to just a conversation about how you sort of break the Glasgow grip on the title. It's a conversation me and my mates have quite a lot. I'm a Celtic fan. The other one's a Rangers fan. And one of them's a Hearts fan. And obviously, we all kind of talk about each other's clubs and things like that. And sort of how, and it's a conversation that comes up quite a lot. Cause me, personally, I mean, obviously, I want Celtic to win the league every season, but it would be nice to see an outside team win that, similar to the kind of Leicester effect in the Premier League. But I don't think that they're going to be able to do that if they don't improve on their performances within Europe. And I think that's the sort of main way to bridge the gap. They're already not getting the money that they should be getting for the transfer fees. So Majorski's going to go for £7 million. But if he's in the Championship in England moving to the Premier League, they're paying upwards of £20 million. Do you know what I mean? That's sort of almost sort of like outlook changing of money for a team like Aberdeen or Hearts or Hibs and teams like that. So that's kind of my main thought. I think the only way they like to bridge the gap is to improve on their performances in Europe. But how do you do that when their budgets are already sort of stripped bare to the bone? Like, how do you do that? How do you retain your best assets and improve in Europe at the same time? Yeah. I really think that's the only way to bridge that gap.
Well, it's actually the same for Celtic and Rangers, actually, but even more important then, the only real way to make money, if you're Aberdeen or Hibs or Hearts or make serious money, is to sell players for a lot of money. Or succeed in Europe, as Jamie says. So,
well, my way of doing it is selling players. So, as I said already said that if you've got a way of playing right through the structure of your team, right through the structure of your club, with the 16s or whatever, 15s all the way through, by the time the 15-year-olds get to the first team at 18, 19, they'll be much more prepared to come in. So if you've got a player that knows exactly what he's doing, he's got a much more chance of breaking into your first team. And if you're looking for fast wingers that look to go behind, for example, then you recruit from a young age fast wingers that like to go behind. And regardless who your manager is, he comes in to fit into the way the club play and the club style. Of course, he'll have his little tweaks on it, his bits and pieces. The main principles are remain the same. Then he's got a much more chance of playing in the team, excelling in the team. And if the more players you have, the more players you sell, the higher transfer fees you can demand.
I think that Jamie makes a good point, I think, in that our so-called smaller clubs don't get the big transfer fees. At the same time, I think Aberdeen would take 7 million for Mayhofsky, wouldn't they? That would actually be quite good in comparison to what we've had in before. So would that be the start of it? I mean, ultimately, if you can get such a good recruitment system in place that you sign, you get 7 million in, and the next guy costs you one, and then that goes again, and then that keeps happening. But it's just it does seem like
finding
a lot of factors at play
that
there.
Recruitment that's going to be so successful. We've looked at how hard it is. You look at a team, and the Celtic fans have criticised Celtic for it. You look at their summer recruitment, which I think everybody admits was very poor.
But look how good it's been for the last 15 years for Celtic.
Yeah, well, there's no doubt in that. But I agree with you in the sense that the only way you can do it is generate a good recruitment, bring in players, sell them on. And I understand what Charlie's saying. I just think that you probably need a high investor to come in and decide that, you know, this is my club. I've got a few quid. I'm going to really invest into it.
So what you think? The harsh reality is that even as a Leicester, as Jamie says, you know, it can be done. You don't need to have the exact same budget. You don't even need to have close to the same budget, but it needs to be closer than what our teams have got just now, basically. Because they're absolutely dwarfed, aren't they? I mean,
But so was Leicester with Man City, weren't they?
Do you think it would have been as much? I'm trying to I'll look it up.
Well, I'd imagine some Man City players would have been, what, 200 grand a week? 250 grand a week? Maybe 300 grand a week? And Leicester players would have been anything between 40 and 100.
Mm-hmm. But the only thing I'll say about that, and I agree with you, it was a great achievement. There's other teams in that league that can beat Man City's. You know, you've got Arsenal's, you get Manchester United, you've got Tottenham's, you've got teams like that can beat Man City's. You look at our big two. Every week they go up against anybody in this Premier League, and every pundit backs Rangers or Celtic. Mm. So it's going to be a very difficult gap to bridge for me. I think that right now, and listen, Charlie's idea is very, very good, and I know where he's coming from, but right now I think just going forward and looking at the way Rangers and Celtic are, I think it's not to go and win the league for these clubs. I think it's to try and bridge the gap and get closer in third.
What do you think, Jimmy?
The approach as well. So I think manager turnaround is just far too quick nowadays. Like, it's a shame for Aberdeen, actually, that Neil Warnock's not coming in 10 years ago. You know what I mean? He's got a chance to try and maybe build something a bit, because I really like that he's involved in Scottish football now. But it's a catch-22 situation, do you know what I mean? Because Charlie's saying there that you need to try, you bring the young players in. But ultimately, they will have their own ambitions and they all kind of want to move on. It's about trying to build that stability, which is why I think it's quite good that Aberdeen have managed to hold on to Mayhofsky as long as they have. And if they could manage to even squeeze another season out of him, you never know what might be possible for them in Europe next season. They might manage to pick up a few more wins. And it's just, as I say, it's about getting that money in.
If you've got these young players on long-term contracts, and that comes back to a good chief executive, a good sporting director, and a good head of youth, if you've got all that in place and you get these in long-term contracts, then you can demand higher fees, especially the more you have.
But you could argue at the minute, Charlie, that that's currently what Aberdeen are trying to do, and they're still not picking up the high transfer fees. I mean, what was the boy at right-back? Sorry, I completely forget his name. I think he was the right-back that moved to Liverpool.
Ramsey,
and how much did he get? I think it was anywhere about £4 million. Yep. Even then, I don't even know if that, but I know it wasn't like a sensational amount of money.
But can you imagine that everybody was like, this is my whole point, if everybody at the club's aligned, so if Ramsey's an attacking fullback, he comes through the youths and he's into an Aberdeen team that finish second or third, but closer to second, and they're doing decent in Europe, they've got a way of playing they used their attacking fullbacks. They could have demanded a lot more money, and the more money you demand for one transfer, you can then, it's a knock on effect to the next, because the teams that come in know, oh, well, they want $7 million for their right backs or whoever they bring through.
But you end up banging your head in the ceiling at some point, don't you? It reminds me of the night that we said Matt Riley was linked with Atletico Madrid, and we had Celtic fans on saying, fine, $50 million. He said, well, yeah, and people said it would be worth that if he was playing in England. Uh-huh. And the answer is, though, but he's not. And if you're going to say it'll cost you $50 million for him, Matt Riley's agent phones up Celtic, says, is that right? You better pay him like a £50 million player then. So it'll be the same challenges, isn't it?
I think that's the problem. That's why I went back to the why Fergie was so successful. He was in charge of the transfers and the
thing is as well, I know it's such an easy thing for me to say to sweep that, it's just such a different era as well, isn't it?
Yeah, but the contracts then, Gordon, were completely different. You couldn't walk out freedom of contract. The minute your contract was up, you had to get a fee, and clubs were in control of the players. And on those days, there weren't too many agents going about. Now it's completely different. You see players coming in, and Scotland, a lot of clubs out with Scotland look at our league and think, right, okay, a player's doing very well there. They're not going to come in and give you, well, unless you're Tierney and stuff like that, the one-offs. They're going to try and get a bargain off you. And most of the times, you're talking out with Rangers and Celtic here, Aberdeen's Hearts and people like that, they'll snatch your hand off for it.
And should
they'll
they
sell cheap.
Is there a case, though, that they should also be squeezing more out of what they've got? Because obviously everybody would acknowledge they don't have as much money as Celtic and Rangers, fine. But if you look, there have been examples, Hibs and Hearts and Aberdeen are paying some players decent wages, by all accounts, compared to, you know, maybe at previous times. There's been high-profile examples. Why does his first name escape me? Muller, that Hibs signed from America. Yep. By all accounts, you know, and a good whack of money, you know, Hearts and Aberdeen have shown some ambition, but then those guys haven't worked out, and then that comes back to how's your recruitment.
It always a full circle for me. So if your recruitment's based on exactly how you play in the full club, are on the same page, scouts, recruitment, chief executive, manager, coaches, everybody knows what you're looking for in a player, then you can then pay that bit extra, because you know that this striker's coming in, and if he plays the way he's been at the previous club, because we know he can play like that, we know his strengths, with a bit of coaching here to fit into our style, he'll score this amount of goals. And don't get me wrong, it's not an exact science, but at least it's a closer way of gauging how to get better as a club.
Thank you very much, Jamie. Interesting, I have to say. Good debate. Thanks for chipping in on it on 01419511025. Dean was wanting you to name, since the introduction of permanent squad numbers in Scotland, Celtic have had 7 number ones. Can you name them? There's one on here that's causing a bit of a steward's inquiry, but anyway.
Magnus Hedman?
No, it wasn't number one.
How far back we gone?
I'll tell you that later if you need to. Wasn't number one, no.
Wasn't number one?
Nope.
Bain wasn't number one.
Nope. There's an obvious one that you've not got yet.
Porridge.
Yes, well, that's one of the obvious ones. We'll get the rest of the answers and more of your calls next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Charlie Mulgrew and Gordon DL are in the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Thanks to Dean for sending this in, and thanks to Universal Interiors East Kilbride for helping us out. Can you name 7? Celtic have had 7 number ones, apparently, since the introduction of permanent squad numbers. You've got Boric, Forster, Barkas and Hart.
Surely Craig Gordon.
Yes, well done.
Paddy Bonner.
Nope. It's not far off, you know, but I think that was at the
time. I think it's Packy Border as well.
I think that was at the time I think maybe squad numbers still were a bit fluid at that point. I think
is
just
Wilson's,
after that.
Wilson's big pal one.
Nope, he is not. There's one on here, right, that we've done a bit of research. Dean sent him. We reckon this guy was get through. He had the number one, but I don't think he ever played. It's along those lines. It's like.
What about
any evidence?
Oh, I know. Sanchez Brotto.
Nope.
No.
What about the lad Roger send him to Fries?
Nah. Is that a real feature of being at a club like Celtic? There must be some amount of like kind of third choice goalies that just come and go that you never really.
Who would have been
around your time?
Oh, we had Logan Bailey.
That's right. Yeah. So again, didn't play very much.
He
did
didn't
he?
Play very much. No. You always get the odd one. It comes in. It doesn't play.
I think that would have been the best for you. What? Like a third choice goalie, because you don't really like contributing to football in any meaningful way. Do you know what I mean? You'd have been quite happy to turn up.
Oh, for was on a good contract
on the bench
all day.
No, even on the bench in the stand.
All well, I'd sit on the bench. You don't have to warm up.
The third choice, no, the goalies do though. The third choice goalies are great at doing those.
You just watch a game start. So what you're trying to say is you just sit there and watch a game.
And you're thinking, I'm on a 5-year contract here. Bonuses included. On you go, lads.
You get two to get one. I think you should probably get quite a well-known former Celtic keeper. The other one, like I say, I can't even find any evidence of him having played. There we go.
Well, not getting
some Roger Hanna level question. I mean, we've got guys like Scott Carson. He's Champions League winners medals, doesn't he? Just got the mantelpiece looking magnificent. Anyway, right, anything else game specific ahead of tomorrow? We've just spent the last bit talking on the back of a Neil Warnock comment that's got everyone debating.
That's quite a big game.
He needs to start by beating Motherwell tomorrow, and Motherwell need to bounce back from cup disappointment.
Yeah, I think that'll be quite exciting at Pittodrie. Neil Warnock's went in there, obviously still in the cup. He likes to hold the limelight with the press. He's a bit of a character, Neil. But I think Motherwell got there and they've got to bounce back from the disappointment of the Scottish Cup exit. All credit to Dugemery and Morton. I thought they were excellent on the night. Deserved to go through, no doubt about that. Got a great draw against Hearts. But for Motherwell, bouncing off of that last league win at home, 5-0 against Ross County, they've got to go up there. It'll be difficult, but I can see them maybe sneaking a little draw.
I mean, you know Aberdeen well, Charlie. Neil Warnock's talking kind of bigger picture, and the fans are, I think, really liking him and liking the size of the name and the profile and some of the things he's saying. Straight away, just need to win games, don't they? Need to climb that table quickly.
They do, and that's what he'll be looking for. But I think he comes across so well because he's just completely been himself, completely honesty. And I think people take to that, they love it. He's been brilliant, and I think that they'll definitely pick up results under him because his man management seems to be his main strength. I think he's been quoted saying that 95% of being a manager is managing players, and I agree with him. I agree that no matter what your playing style is or what you choose to play, you need to be able to manage people in all walks of life, and definitely football management. So I think they'll pick up a result tomorrow night.
What I suppose the danger is, though, third is possibly beyond them. Would we go as far as that already?
Hearts,
is it?
Hearts will cement that if they keep Shanklin fit.
They're 23 points ahead, but they do have Hearts are 23 points ahead, but there's two games in hand for Aberdeen. So even if
they're not catching that, they're not closing that gap.
It's all about fourth.
If they can get the way Aberdeen have been this season, I think top six will be an achievement for them.
11 behind fourth.
Yeah, they're certainly not closing Hearts.
When I look at the appointment of Neil Warnock, and he's been brought in the past to save people from possible situations, relegation and adrift at the bottom, I look at it and think, why would you bring him? And the wee things that he said when he first came in his conference, his press conference and stuff, I think they're bringing him in to try and win the Scottish Cup or get a good run, get to the final in the Scottish Cup. That's my thinking. That's what I think.
Salvage something.
Trying in the league, obviously finish as high they can, knowing that they probably can't get third.
I mean, I suppose that points gap to third is extremely big. Motherwell, Gordon, how damaging can a cup result like that be?
Very much so, because they get into this game tomorrow night, and you know, you look at Aberdeen, Warnock, home tie, there'll be a big crowd there. Majoski banging goals in for fun. They can't afford an embarrassing result, Gordon. I think they've got to go up there. I think if they can get a draw, get out there with a point, it'd be terrific for them. But they've got to bounce back. I know that you can fall back in this undefeated, and is it 9 apart from the Morton game? But if you look at the overall picture in the league, it was two wins in 20. You can't keep doing that. They've got to pick up points because there's other teams there. If Aberdeen beat them tomorrow night, they'll go above them. They drop down the league again. So you've just got to make sure that you're consistently picking up points, especially on the road, and hopefully get performances like they did against Ross County at Fir Park. I'll make them safe, but I think that's after.
But then, see, at the same time, can you keep going? Can you see when you've gone on a bad run? There's now nothing. There's then nothing you can do about that. When do you start looking at least a bit shorter than those 20 games? I think over the last six games, Motherwell are the fourth fourth most informed team in the league. Six games is a decent sample. Only Celtic, Rangers and Hearts, I think, have got more points in the last four games. How long can you keep holding what happened 20 games ago?
No, I think there's a thing in football that you get into a winning mentality. You know that you're turning up at games. I think Motherwell, and I think that probably was a small part, and I'm taking nothing away from Morton going to Capello. You've got to go there and know how to win. Winning's a habit, losing is a habit. Now, I think for Motherwell just now, it's game to game. And they've got to go up there tomorrow night. They've got the players that can hurt Aberdeen if they're on form. Of that, there's no doubt. But it will be a difficult game because Aberdeen have got that lift with the new manager. They've got a guy that can score goals for fun. They're at home. There'll be a big crowd there. But they've got to make sure they've just keeping that distance between them and Ross County, and don't give Ross County any encouragement. And I certainly don't think Ross County will get any encouragement tomorrow night, because I think Rangers will obviously win that game very comfortably. But you've just got to keep picking and sort of picking away at the points, get the points, and hope your home form continues like they did against Ross County.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's finish where we started. Will Rangers be top tomorrow night?
Yeah. Yeah,
we'll get the three goals.
Look, I think if you're Rangers, and I can understand the Rangers manager playing it down, saying, look, most important thing, go and get 3 points. First and foremost, you don't get a better opportunity. Ross County, they lost 5 at Fir Park. They were all over the place. They've replaced their manager. I don't know if they'll get a lift with the interim manager. I don't know what he's been doing. He's had a bit of time to work with them. But Rangers are banging for him. They're confident. They know what's ahead. Listen, I think it's a great time. I know there's a lot of football to be played, and I say it again, I still tipped Celtic just to win it narrowly. I think it will be tight. But what a great time for Rangers to put that pressure on Celtic by just going top of the league.
No, I don't. No? I don't think they'll. Just with, they're not scoring too many goals. They're not creating a lot of chances that we spoke about before, or having a lot of shots on target, but no scoring goals. So I think that they'll.
A 2-0 win. And draw it perfectly,
yes.
Level on goal difference.
I'm going with that.
I mean, and I suppose that maybe is the bit where it does become, maybe that's the bit that does shine the spotlight on us being a bit too obsessed with whether it's top or whether it's not. You know, as if Philippe Clement's going to come away from tomorrow going, oh, I can't believe it, we only scored 2 and now we're level, when if we'd scored 1 more we would have been top. You know, the margins are so small. So maybe, yeah, maybe it's, is it just an excitement thing for fans?
Exactly, that's all it is. It won't be for the players, it won't be for the staff, it won't be for the manager, absolutely not, because there's still a lot of football to be played. There's still games against Celtic where they've not really come out on top, let's be honest about that. Important games. There's games on the road that you've got to look at over a piece and think these will be difficult ties. So as much as it's just an excitement thing for the supporters, and a good thing for the supporters, because they can gloat on the fact that everybody thought the league was away before Clement walked into the building, and all of a sudden we're in Valentine's night and Rangers may be top of the league. So for the supporters, great, but for the players and the management, it'll make no difference.
Right, 2 more former Celtic number ones. One's like verging on impossible, but what
Brad
about
Douglas?
No, actually, he wasn't number one. Was
Gord
he
Marshall?
No, so just after that sort of era.
Stuart Kerr?
No, so just after that, you're close. Sort of would have been early 2000s.
Martin O'Neill's team.
Start of that, yeah.
I played against Martin O'Neill's team.
Quick. Oh, Gould.
Yes,
Gould.
Jonathan Gould. And the last one, honestly, I can't find evidence of an appearance, but apparently he did get given number one. He was Australian. I think it was around the turn of the century as well, maybe just after that.
Initials?
DM. I don't think that's going to matter to you. DM.
What? I know. About 2000, are you saying?
Just
David.
After 03, 04.
David.
Danny Milosevic.
I've never heard of him. You heard
what?
Of him?
Yeah, apparently he was number one. You don't think he played though? He's
going to
come in and get given the jersey, and he's got up his wall. Anyway, thank you. Back tomorrow. Big night in the Premiership. Back from 6 o'clock. Have a good night.